Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches. We begin on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the new Mishnah, about a quarter of the way down. Now, in yesterday's year, we had a Mishnah where a number of individuals were praised. They were considered praiseworthy, Zohar Latov, because of one little thing that they did. And I mentioned we would contrast that today with certain people that were not considered to be so praiseworthy. So that's why the Mishnah just starts right off, it jumps in and says, Ve'elu l'gnai. The following people are considered to be in a negative light, not praiseworthy like the ones in the previous Mishnah were. Before we, however, start, there's a major question the Chofetz Chaim and others ask, and that how is the Mishnah allowed to say Lashon Hara? Even if it's true, how are we saying Lashon Hara? How are we mentioning that this was a Gnai, that these people were not really praiseworthy? They were, in fact, not considered very good. So how are we allowed to say that? So Chofetz Chaim says that there is a mitzvah, actually, if a person is acting improperly, if they're a Rasha, if they're acting in a way that's negative, so then there's not only a heter to be allowed to say something negative about them, but there's a mitzvah to actually go and say that their activities are improper. And indeed, in this situation, mutter lahachlimo ulusaper bignuso. You have a right to go and publicly embarrass him and publicly knock him, because other people are going to learn from his actions and it'll do things incorrectly. Now, of course, Chofetz Chaim says there are many criteria that need to be met before you're allowed to go and do this, but that basically is the tenor over here of our Mishnah, that we're teaching very important ideas here in person, the right way that people should act, and therefore that's why the Mishnah can start off and say the Elul Gnai, the following people are considered in a negative light. So, who are these people? Shobez Garmu, from the house of Garmu, the family of Beis Garmu. So, lo rotzu l'lamed ha'mais lechem upon him. They knew the special way to make the lechem upon him. Again, we mentioned many times, lechem upon him were the 12 breads that were arranged in stacks of six, and that were placed on the shulchan on Shabbos and stayed hot, piping fresh until the following Shabbos. Many nisim were involved in this. So, this family of Beis Garmu knew how to make the lechem upon him, which is not a simple feat to do. And they wouldn't teach it to anybody else, despite the fact that Chazal begged them to go teach it to other people. They wouldn't teach other people how to make lechem upon him. So they were considered lignai because they wouldn't teach this skill. The Gemara will explain that they had a reason why they didn't do it, but ultimately the Chachamim said that that reason really wasn't a good reason. That's one way to understand this. And therefore, they were held lignai. There'll be an explanation in the Gemara that says that their reason was ultimately accepted when it was shown that it was really a true reason and they weren't just putting a fake reason out there that looked good but wasn't really real. And ultimately, there is an opinion that says that this was changed, no longer lignai, but that this would be also zarcho latov. So why didn't we change it according to that Mishnah? According to that opinion, why didn't the Mishnah change and say over here, Zohar Latov? So once we have the Mishnah Rishona, once the Mishnah is written in a certain way, Lo Zazim Yimikoma, it doesn't change. Even though the content is incorrect, but since the Torah Shebaal Peh was all learned by heart, so once these Mishnahis were codified in the way that they were codified, so even if they were ultimately found to be incorrect or there was a change in them, nevertheless, they were learned and stated over in the same way as they originally were. Okay. In any event, the first group that was lignai was Beis Garmu. The second group was Shobeis Aptinus. What did they do? A family of the house of Aptinus, lo rotzu l'lamed al ma'aseh ketores. They knew how to make the ketores, the incense. It has 11 spices, and there was one spice, the mala oshon, that there were differences of opinion as to what spice the mala oshon was, and everybody else wasn't able to take the spice and do with it what the Beis Aptinus was, because the Beis Aptinus knew what the real Mala Yoshin was, and the others were using something that was acceptable for Mala Yoshin, but didn't allow the smoke to rise straight up. And therefore, it dispersed, and it wasn't as beautiful as the Ketores that the Beis Aptinus made. So they knew what this Mala Yoshin spice was, and Lorotzu Lalamid, Amai Sektores, they didn't want to teach it to anybody else. And therefore, they were sanctioned as well. The third person, Hugras ben Levi, this was an individual, Hugras ben Levi, Hayyadea Perik Bashir. He knew how to do certain instrumentation with his hands and his mouth and make beautiful sounds, and he didn't teach this to anybody else, and therefore, Lo Ratzo Lalame, and he was also considered Lignai, because he wouldn't teach these, how to make these sounds to other people. So these three families, ultimately, we'll see in the Gemara, were not lignai, or at least not totally lignai, because they each had a valid reason why they didn't want to teach their skills, either to make the lechem upon it, to make the ketores, or to make these beautiful sounds and songs, because they felt that if the Beis HaMikdash were to be destroyed, then this talent that they had would be given over to other people who would use it in the service of Avodah Zarah. So that was the reason. Originally, at least according to one opinion, the rabbis didn't believe that that was really true. According to another opinion, the rabbis weren't fully believing it, but ultimately they did believe it, and that's why this is not really lignite. In any event, Ben Kantzer, now he's the fourth one that's mentioned here, the Gemara is going to say that no, he really didn't have an excuse. Ben Kantzer, Lorotzel Lamed Amaisek Sav, he knew how to write the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to many, simultaneously. He could write all the letters, the Yud, the K, the Vav, the K, he could write them all simultaneously. The Maritz Chiyas has a fascinating idea, it's brought down for the Masas Ben Yomim, and it says that it was like a printing press that he had, and he wouldn't teach this to anybody else, and therefore he was held to Gnai. So the Mishnah concludes and says, "Al Rishonim Ne'amar," on the first group that we had in yesterday's Mishnah, so they were held. On that group, we said that they were Zocher Latov. And that is the idea of Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. And on these, we said, "Lignai Valelu Ne'amar V'Shem Rishonim Yirkov." Here it says that the name of the wicked shall be blotted out. It will become rotten and spoiled. And that's the difference between a tzaddik. When you mention his name, you say a lebracha, and by this rishoyim, the name should be blotted out. Yemach shemo v'zichro. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Bryce starts off and tells us what exactly were the qualities of these four people that we mentioned here, that they were originally lignai, and subsequently only Ben Kamtzer was the one that was held definitely lignai. So we start off, Tana Rabbanan, the Bryce tells us, basically, garmo yubikim b'may selecha upon him. Now this is almost verbatim from the Gemara that we had not that long ago in Shkolim, so hopefully this will be familiar. They knew how to make the lechem aparim. Lechem aparim, as I mentioned, were these showbreads, then the two sacks of sticks, and they were in two different shapes. The machlokis in the Gemara in Menachos either was what was known as a teva perutza. It was like a box that would opened on two sides, and again had some certain shapes to it, or it was sphina roked. This was like a canoe. In any event, the making of this, that when they took it out of the oven, it shouldn't fall apart and that it shouldn't spoil, was quite complicated. And therefore, they knew how to do it in the base garmu. They didn't want to teach it to anybody else. So the rabbis begged them, "Please teach us, please teach us," but they refused. So therefore, the rabbi said, "Then we're going to get somebody else to do this." So shochel chachamim. So the rabbi sent to Alexandria Mitzrayim. They view umnin me Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, where there were people that were famous for being great bakers. So they brought in these artisans from Mitzrayim, Alexandria in Mitzrayim. Vayuyodin lefos kamosin. They could also bake lechem upon him. So they wanted to replace the base garmu with these new bakers from Alexandria Mitzrayim. However, v'lo yodin lirdos kimoson, but they weren't able to accomplish the same thing ultimately that the base garmu could do. What was that? Shehalalu masikim mibuchutz, because these bakers from Alexandria, so they didn't use the inside of the oven, they used the outside of the oven where the heat didn't get as hot. V'ofin mibuchutz, and they baked it on the outside, and that's how they were able to go and take it off without breaking the forms. But since it didn't stay as hot, we'll see, internally it's spoiled. As opposed to the base garmu, so they knew how to go and take it off of the walls of the oven from the inside, and therefore it could get very, very hot, and it preserved the shape and the form, and also it didn't spoil. And therefore they baked it from the inside. And they heated it up from the inside, and they baked it from the inside, as opposed to the bakers from Alexandria, they heated it up from the outside, and they baked it on the outside. And therefore, halalu piton misafeshes, the Alexandrian chefs, the bakers, their lechem upon him would spoil. Halalu ein piton misafeshes, but the base garmu, their bread never spoiled. Now, you might be thinking, wait a second, that was the nes, that the bread never spoiled. So what difference does it make whether it was the base garmu who did it or these bakers from Alexandria? It was the nes. So the simple teretz that many give is that in some chanalanes, you can't rely upon a miracle, and you have to do everything in your power to make sure that it doesn't spoil. So therefore, while it never spoiled, you have an obligation to not rely upon the nes and do everything in your power, and the base garmu knew how to do this, and the bakers in Alexandria did not. Alternatively, some suggest that this was during the period of the Bayis Rishon that this miracle occurred, or when Kohanim Gedolim were great in the Bayis Sheni. But since much of the time in the Bayis Sheni, things were not so ay, 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 so therefore this nace didn't occur. the other terutzim as well, but this is a simple way to understand why it therefore made a difference that the Beis Gamu's bread didn't spoil, whereas the lechem upon him of the people from Alexandria, the bakers of Alexandria, did spoil. So the rabbis heard about this, kishishamu chachamim badavar, so the rabbis now said, let's go bring back the Beis Gamu. Amru, kol mashabara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lichvodo boro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow gave the Beis Gamu this skill, this knowledge, and he did it in order to make his own name greater, in order to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And therefore, Shenema, the pasuk says, kol hanikra bishmi v'lechvodi b'rasiv, everything that is in my name is for my honor. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Beis Gamu this skill, so we'll go back and use it. V'chazu Beis Gamu l'mekomim, they want to return the Beis Gamu to this position of honor of baking the lechem upon him, because this would be a glorification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, they wanted them to return to work. The rabbi said, no, come back to work. However, Beis Gamu said, sorry, you got somebody else, so let somebody else do it. So however, the rabbis knew that the other people, and probably Beis Gamu knew that the other people weren't really as good as them, so therefore, the rabbis doubled their salary. They doubled their salary, and now, okay, they said, for the extra money, we'll come to work. Previously, their salary was 12 mana. Some suggest this was an annual salary. Whatever it was a large amount of money, but now, they doubled it to 24 mana. Alternatively, Rehud Omer, the original salary was 24 mana, and now it was 48 mana. The rabbi said to the Beis Gamu, why didn't you want to tell everybody the secret how to make the bread? So this was the teretz that the Beis Gamu gave, which again, some suggest the rabbis didn't believe, or some suggest ultimately the rabbis were shown that this was correct, and therefore they did believe them. Yodin HaYushal Beis Abba, they said, we knew, we have a tradition in our family, Shebayiz also the Harvit, the Beis HaMikdash Nebuch is going to be destroyed. They were Nebuch right. Shemo Yilmot Odom Sheinam Hugan. But if we let out our secret and teach people how to make the lechem upon him, some inappropriate person is going to go and take this and go use this for Avodah Zarah. And therefore, we know, we only tell it to the people that are Erlich in our family. This way, it will stay a special bread for the Beis HaMikdash and not be used for Avodah Zarah. Mark continues, the Braisa says, even according to the opinion that says the Beis Gamu were not ultimately considered to be good, that the rabbis didn't accept this reason that they gave, nevertheless, the rabbis realized that the Beis Gamu did certain things very well. What is that? For the following thing, the Beis Gamu was certainly considered very, very praiseworthy. What was that? At all times, lo nimseis pas nakiya b'yabneim. Their children, when they went to school with sandwiches, so they never had nice, clean bread. They always had coarse bread. Shelo yom, so people shouldn't say, yeah, I know where they got that sandwich. The ma'aseh lechem upon him, they steal or they take the extra flour for the ma'aseh lechem upon him, and they go and break their own bread. So therefore, they never used perfectly good solas like the ma'aseh lechem upon him was made from, and therefore, this way nobody would suspect that they were doing something inappropriate. And this is in accord with what we learned previously and what we have here again now. It's not enough that Hashem knows that you didn't sin, but you have to make sure that other people don't accuse you of sinning even though you know that you didn't sin, and even Hashem knows you didn't sin. But you have to be clean in the eyes of not only me Hashem, Umi Yisrael, from also people. Then we said, so the Mishnah said that the Beis Avtinus didn't want to teach people how to make the Ketores. As I mentioned, it was the Mali Oshon, one of the 11 ingredients of the Ketores, so they knew exactly what it was. Others didn't know exactly what it was. They used an acceptable. If you didn't bring all 11, you chayv Misa. So obviously it was acceptable to be my Mali Oshon, but it wasn't the ideal Mala Oshon. And therefore, the Rice says, Tana Rabbanim, Besatina, so you became my Seak Torres. They were experts in making the Torres, but they didn't want to teach it to anybody else. Again, for the same reasons we'll ultimately say, because they were afraid that people who were inappropriate would end up learning it and use it for Avodah Zarah. So this way, the rabbi said, if you're not going to tell us, we'll get somebody else to take over your job. Alexandria Mitzrayim. Alexandria Mitzrayim was a big metropolis, and they had lots of expert artisans there. So they said, we'll get spice makers, we'll get incense makers from over there that will come and make the incense, the Ketores. And that's what they did. So they brought these experts from Alexandria Mitzrayim. They also knew how to make the Pitim Ketores. However, but they didn't know this ingredient called the Mali Oshon that allowed the Halos Oshon Kimosim to allow the smoke to go straight up and not be dispersed. And therefore, Shalalalu, in the house of Avtinus, they knew this Mala Oshun, and therefore their Ketoris, Misamer, Va'ole Kimakel. It went up like a stick. It went straight up. The smoke went straight up, and it didn't disperse. As opposed to Shalalalu, the expert artisans from Alexandria Shubatzraim, who knew how to make Ketoris, Halalu, Mavtsiya, Lekan, Lukan. It got spread out. It dispersed to the left and to the right, this way and that way, because they didn't know the proper ingredient to the Mala Oshun. Therefore, the rabbi said, we've got to bring them back. When the rabbis heard that the experts of Alexandria were not as good, so Amru, they said, same thing as we said before. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, it, he created to glorify his name. And everything Hashem does is to make his name greater. And therefore, this family of Avtinus was given this skill in order to glorify Hashem's name, so we'll bring them back. They said, we're returning Beis Avtinus to their position of stature to make the Ketores. So they sent for them, Shochel Mechachamim, but again, like before, the Beis Avtinus says, Lobo, we're not coming. You got somebody else? So fine, see how good they are. They obviously were not good. The Beis Avtinus knew that, and therefore the rabbis had to double their salary too, just like they did previously for the Beis Garmu. Shochel Lemeschoran Uvo. So they doubled their salary, and now they came back to work. And again, we had the same achlok as before. Every day it says, but it really most say it means every year because it's a phenomenal amount of money. They took shneim asar mona, 12 mona. And today, now they demand that vayom esrim v'yabar. They double the salary to 24. Or alternatively, v'yudom v'yabachoyom esrim v'yabar. And vayom arba mishmona. Every day or the annual fee was 24 mona, and today they doubled it to 48. So the rabbis asked them the same thing that they asked the Beis Garmu. Why didn't you want to teach anybody how to make the Ketores? Because they said back to the Chachamim, we have a tradition in our family, Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, which Nebuch it was. Amru, they said, an inappropriate person is going to learn how to do this, and he'll go and use this skill in the worship of idols, and therefore we don't want to teach it to anybody else. Now, even if the rabbis didn't believe this fully, nevertheless, they recognized that the Beis Avtinus people were good people. For the following reason, they considered them very praiseworthy. Just like with the Beis Garmu, that their children never had pas nikiyah, so too. And the family of Avtinus, they never let even the kala go out with perfume from their houses. And when they married out, when they married a woman who wasn't from the Beis Avtinus, they made a rule with her, Masanima. They said, Shalotis Basim, you can marry into our family, but realize you're never going to wear perfume again. So people shouldn't say, Shaloyomu, Mimaisei Ketores, Mis Basim. Oh, yeah, we know why they smell so good, because they're taking a little bit of the Maisei Ketores on the side and using it for their own perfume. So therefore, they made a rule that they wouldn't use any perfume. So people, again, shouldn't accuse them inappropriately that they were stealing the Ketores, and this is also in fulfillment of the pasuk that we just brought down before, L'chaim HaShenemar, V'isim Nekim HaShem Yisrael. You have to be clean, you have to be innocent in the eyes not only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even other people. And again, we mentioned already several times that it's not clear, did these reasons that both Beis Garmu and Beis Avtinus gave, were they really valid reasons? So Tanya, we learn in the Brayso, so Amr Rabbi Yishmol said, Pamachas Yisim Alech Vaderech, one time I was going on the road, and I found one of the people from either Beis Avtinus or Beis Garmu. And he said, and I said to him, your family, your previous generations, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, they didn't want to teach people how to make the Lechem HaPanim or how to make the Ketores because they wanted to aggrandize themselves. And that's what Rabbi Shmuel said to this person. They wanted to make themselves into big shots. Oh, we're the only ones that know how to make the Lechem HaPanim. We're the only ones that know how to make the Ketores. But that ends up resulting in less people knowing how to do this, and therefore the Kavod HaShemayim would be diminished. That's what they thought. But Achshav, it's the exact opposite. Nothing has changed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grandeur is unchanged, of course. But since Nebuch, there's no Beis HaMikdash, so your stature has been diminished. Similarly, on Rabbi Kiva, now we're not going towards Pamachas because we'll have it a minute later. So, softly, Rabbi Yishmael ben Luga, one time, Rabbi Kiva said that Rabbi Yishmael ben Luga said to him that Rabbi Yishmael ben Luga, Pamachas, one time, Yotzasi, Aniv, Echo, Mibnei, Bneim, Lasod, Laki, Nasavim, one time, this Rabbi Yishmael ben Luga went out with one of the family from Avtinus to go and gather grasses from the field. And Varisi, now the Gersa that we have is just Sochak Ubacha, but it should be, it says, Shebacha Vesochak. Then he first cried, and then he smiled. Now, Amarti lo, so Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga said to him, what are you crying about? What are you smiling about? Amarti lo, b'nei Mabuchisa, why did you cry? So he said, Omer li, Nebuch, kivod avosai niskarti. I remember back in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, how important my family was that we made the Ketores. And therefore, Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so we're bereft. B'nei Masochaktus, and why did you laugh afterwards? Why did you get so happy about it? So Omer li, so Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga said that this person said back to him, "Sha'asid Hakadosh Baruch Hu la'chzira lanu," because ultimately the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and they're again going to need the Ketores, and who other than my family will be the ones to bring it? Now, this conversation between Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga and this person from the Beis Haftinus, what caused that conversation to occur? Umibnei man iskarta. Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga says to this person from the house of Haftinus, "What made you cry and laugh now?" So Amar Li, he said to Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga, Ma'ala Oshon Kinegdi, I see the Ma'ala Oshon, I see that spice, and that's what reminded me. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga says, Nu, Harei Uli, show it to me, so I'll know what it is. But this Beis Haftinus person said, Amar Li, he said to Rabbi Shmuel ben Luga, sorry, it's our family tradition that we don't show anybody. Shvu Hibi Adenu, we've sworn, Shein Ma'ara Noso L'Cholad, we don't show it to anybody. One more Ma'isa, and this will be the one that proves that they were doing it really L'Shem Shemayim. I'm Rav Yochman Nuri. Rav Yochman Nuri says, "Pamachas v'tzosi zokin echad." One time I was walking, and I found an older man, umagilas samamonim biyado, and he had a scroll in his hand, a megillah, and it had a whole list of spices, and some suggest that it also had pictures of the spices, so they would know what they were. So Rav Yochman Nuri asked this old man, "Amarti lo, me'ayinata, where are you from?" And Amali, and this man said to him, "Mi beis avtinas ani." I'm one of the people from Beis Haftinas. Nu, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said, "Uma biyotcha, what's in your hand?" So Amar Li, so this person from the Beis Haftinas said to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, "Magila samamonim." This is a list. It's a megillah of a listing of all the samamonim. Nu, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, "Hareuli, show it to me. I'd like to see it." Amar Li, so this old man said to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, "Normally we're not allowed to. Kozman shebeis abba yukayamin, when my family was around and serving the Beis HaMikdash, lo yimosu nosu l'choladim. We had taken a shvua, as we just brought down previously, we would never say, show it to anybody, tell anybody what the Ma'ala Yoshin was. However, v'yakshav harei l'cho, but now there's nobody left for my family, and this skill will go to waste if I don't give it over to you. And therefore, I'm handing it over to you. V'yizarba, but be very, very careful with it, that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands." So this is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was told. Ukshabasi v'safti devare lefnei Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, "I went back and told Rabbi Akiva about this." So Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva said, "From now on, me'ata also l'saper b'gnusin shalelu." We see that they really were good people, and that they said that they didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands. We see that that was really erlich, because otherwise this older person would not have given it over to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And therefore, we no longer can say the elu lignai. Again, some held that this was lamaisa, and that we just don't change the Mishnah around, because, as I mentioned previously, Mishnah rules also mean makoma, and others suggest, no, that it wasn't fully accepted, so the Mishnah still stays the way it was, but there was some sort of a reconciliation towards these three families. We'll see, this also includes the family of Hugras ben Levi, but doesn't include ben Kamtzer. In any event, based upon this, we find Ben Azai says the following, Mekanam Ben Azai, Bishimcha Yikra'ucha, Uvimkomcha Yoshivucha. They'll call you out by your name, and you'll still be over there in your place. That's where they will sit you down. We turn to Lama Chesam with Beis, and we continue. Umishalcha Yidnu Lucha, from your own, that's what they're going to give you. What does that mean? Ein Odom Nogea Bemuchon L'Chaveru. A person will never get anything that's designated for somebody else. You're only going to get what you're supposed to get. Ve Malchus Nogas B'Chaveruta. There is no overlap between one king and the next king. When the king dies, or when the king's reign ends, only then can the next king take over. E malchus nogas b'chaverta, afilu kablo nima, even like a hair of breath, even a small amount, it can't. When David HaMelech was told he was going to die, so he said, "I didn't want to die on Shabbos," because David HaMelech died on Shabbos. He said, "Let me die on Friday." So he said, "No, Shlomo HaMelech can't become the king until Shabbos, because you're still alive and you're still to be the king." And so he said, "Let me die on Sunday." He said, "No, Shlomo HaMelech can't wait even that one moment till Sunday. It's designated you're supposed to die on Shabbos, and Shlomo HaMelech is supposed to take over as king on Shabbos." So even Malo Nima, even a hair's breadth, can't be encroaching one kingship upon another kingship. And we quote the Mishnah, the third person that was mentioned, Lignai, but we'll see, is also not so terrible, Hugris Melevi v'chule. He knew how to do a certain type of sound and singing and wouldn't teach it to anybody else. Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Kishu no sing kolo binimo, when he would go and sing beautifully with his voice, Machnis godlus of pili, he would put his thumb into his mouth, Uminiach etzbo bein hanimim, and he would somehow put his other finger, his pointer finger, in between like the spot on your mustache where you have the two sides of the mustache coming together in the middle, and he was able to make certain beautiful sounds as a result of doing that. And when he made these sounds, Ashiyu Echav Kohanim, all the other Kohanim that were there, Mizkarim Bevas Rosh Lacharem, they would be thrown back from the beauty of his sound. That's a simple way to understand this, and they would be amazed at the beauty of his voice. Alternatively, some suggest that they would toss their heads back and they would go sing. Like a chazan sometimes tosses his head back to let out a beautiful song, so that's what it meant, they would join him in singing. Now, we don't go through the whole discussion here, but the Tosfos Yeshanim says that likewise, Hugris ben Levi was afraid that this technique that he knew would fall into the wrong hands, and that's why he didn't want to teach it to anybody else. And ultimately, he was included with both the Beis Karmo and the Beis Aftinus, according to those that suggest that they really did it L'Shem Shemayim, so too he also did it L'Shem Shemayim. But the fourth person mentioned, Ben Kamtzer, that there is no excuse, because his concern that maybe it would fall into the wrong hands isn't applicable, because there's no maila to writing the four-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world of the Avodah Zarah. So, therefore, his reason doesn't apply. Others suggest also because even after the Beis HaMikdash, his skill would still be applicable for the writing of tefillin and mezuzahs. In any event, let's now see the brayso of what Ben Kamtzer did. Tanur Rabbanan, Ben Kamtzer lo rotzel lalamed al ma'aseh ksav. He didn't want to teach everybody that this skill that he had, that he could write the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, all at the same time. Others suggest it wasn't the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. He could actually not write the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. He could write other letters, four letters at the same time, and others suggest no, it was Bedavka, only the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. In any event, Amru Olav, they said about this Ben Kamtzer, Shayonotel Arbo Kulmosin Bein Etzbiosov, he took four quills in between his fingers, and Vimhoisa Teva Shal Arba Osios, if there was a four-letter word, which again, I said, some say it was not the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but most suggest it was the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Hayokosevus Vasachas, he would write it at one time. We'll see in a moment what the mila to that was and why it's not a problem to do that. So Amulah, the Chacham said to him, Mari Yisrael Lamanit, why aren't you teaching this to everybody else? This is a great thing for everybody to know. So Kula Matzu Chuvala Devrayim. So the rabbis asked this to the Beis Garmu, to the Beis Aftinas, to Hugras Ben Levi, and they all gave appropriate terutzim, that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed and would fall into the wrong hands, and that's why we don't want to teach other people our skill. Therefore, Kula Matzu Chuvala Devrayim, except Ben Kamtzer. Ben Kamtzer Lo Matzu Chuvala Devarav, as they mentioned, because this would have no benefit in the Avodah Zarah, or that they would still be able to use this talent even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for tefillin and mezuzahs. And therefore, the Gemara concludes and says, "Ala Rishonim Nemar." Now, this is really referring to the first Mishnah that we had in yesterday's shir, where we talked about all the people that were Zochel Latov, that they made the Kiyor, and that they made the Nevreshes, and they did all the other things that we talked about in yesterday's Mishnah. Ben Kotin, we had Munvaz, we had Hilni, Nikinor. So all the wonderful things that we had. Yes, it's Mishnah. So some suggest that's what it's referring to over here when it says Al Rishonim Nemar. Others say no, it was even the Rishonim over here in today's Mishnah, the Beis Garmu, the Beis Athinas, and Hugras ben Levi, that they subsequently said as well, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. V'al Ben Kamtzer v'chaveira, that's why it mentions Ben Kamtzer and those that are like Ben Kamtzer, but not necessarily the first three, Beis Garmu, Beis Athinas, and Hugras. So, according to most opinions, they weren't included over here in the Shem Rishoyim Yerkov, but Kamtzer, and those that are like Ben Kamtzer, the Chaveirov, it does say about them, Shem Rishoyim Yerkov. My V'Shem Rishoyim Yerkov, what does that exactly mean, Shem Rishoyim Yerkov? So Gemara says, Amar Elazar, Rak Bivus Tala Bishmosam, that their names will, so to say, spoil. Lo Maskina Bishmayim, nobody's going to want to call their children by their names, so those names won't be used anymore, and therefore it's like those names will rot. Ravina doesn't like this answer. Moshe Ravina. Ravina has the following from the following Braisa. Maisa, once was an incident, a story that happened to Bedoeg ben Yosef. Now, Doeg is a name that is familiar to us from David HaMelech, that he wanted to take away the kingship from David HaMelech, and he wanted Shaul and David to get into a fight, and he would become the new king after they, so to say, wiped each other out. So Doeg was originally a great Talmud Chacham, but then he went off the Derech, and he died at a very young age, at 33 years of age. He didn't even reach half his lifetime of quote, 70 years. So the name of Doeg, one would think, is Shem Rishon Yirkov, wouldn't be given over to anybody. But here we have a Maisa with a person named Doeg. That's going to be the Gemara's question that Rabina has. But Doeg ben Yosef, so there's a Maisa with Doeg ben Yosef. Who was he? Shenicho Aviv ben Kotelimo, that his father left him as a very small boy with his mother, and she cared for him. And b'chol yom ha'itza imo modadeto b'tvachim, and his mother would measure him every day, using tefachim, that's again small measures. A tefach is about 3.5 to 4 inches. And v'dosenes mishkalo shalzov leveis hamikdash. And she would measure him out, and that amount of money she would donate every day to the beis hamikdash in gold. However, that's obviously she loved him very much. However, when Nebuchadnezzar Russia came and destroyed the beis hamikdash, tevachatu v'achaloso. She was so hungry that Nebuchadnezzar shechted her own son, who she loved obviously so much. And she ate her own son. And about this story, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, in Echa Baleo Konin Yirmiyo, Im Tochalna Noshim Piryom Olalei Tifuchim, the very, very sad part of Echa, which says, should a mother eat her own children, the children that they care for, Im Tochalna Noshim Piryom Olalei Tifuchim. What a sad, sad comment. And Yirmiyahu's Konin, he laments this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, how do you allow something like this to happen? However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Meshivas Ruach HaKodesh Omeris. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Yirmiyahu through Ruach HaKodesh, and he says, Im Yarig, should it be appropriate that they Klai Yisrael goes and kills B'mikdash Hashem in my holy base of Mikdash, Kohen B'Navi, they killed the great Navi Zechariah ben Yoyada. And Nebuch, he was killed in the first base of Mikdash, his blood never stopped boiling until the wicked butcher Nebuzaradan came and killed 1 million Jews to make that blood stop boiling over. Ultimately, Nebuzaradan, in the famous story, does become a Ger Tzedek, because he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was correct and not him. In any event, we see from the story that Doeg was used as a name. So how can you tell me Shem Rishon Yirkov? Sword says, yeah, look, that's the proof to the pudding. After all, look what happened to this Doeg ben Yosef. He shouldn't have been named Doeg. Maybe this wouldn't have happened to him. So Shem Rishon Yirkov is very appropriate. Amar Rilaza says, Tzadik mi atzmo, v'rosha mi chaveiro. A tzadik is always mentioned even on his own, and a rosha is always mentioned when another rosha is mentioned. What does that mean? Tzadik mi atzmo, tzadik is always mentioned favorably, d'chsiv zecher tzadik levrocha. Even alone, just by mentioning the tzadik's name, it's levrocha. It doesn't have to be mentioned with anybody else. As opposed to a rosha, v'rosha mi chaveiro. When you mention one rosha, you mention another rosha at the same time. D'chsiv v'shem rishaim yirkov. Here it's in the plural form, as opposed to zecher tzadik levrocha is in the singular form. Amar Ravina la'amei rabbanon. Ravina asked one of the following rabbis the following shaila. Now, this rabbi was an expert, the Hava Mesader Agadato Kamei. He would learn Agadato in front of Ravina, and he was considered a baki in this, so that's why Ravina asked him these questions. And he said to him, you know HaMilsa, where do we see the Amar Rabbanu Zechat Tzadik Lebracha? Where did they get this idea of Zechat Tzadik Lebracha? So this Rav, this baki in Agadato, says, Pasuk. It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Amalei, Dach Siv, Zechat Tzadik Lebracha. It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Ravina says, that's not what I was asking. Midoraisa minolon. Where do we know midoraisa? As the Tosus Yeshanim says over here, if you find something in Nach, it must be that it also has a makor in the Chumash. So he said, where in the Torah, midoraisa minolon, this idea that's mentioned in Nach, in Mishlei, in Ksuvim. So this Baal Agada, this Talmud Chacham, who knew Agadata, says the Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vashem Omar, Hashem says at the time that he's about to destroy Sodom, he says, is this something that I should hide from Avram Avinu? It's not right that I should hide this from Avram. I'm going to go tell Avram that I'm about to destroy Sodom. But no, while he mentions Avram Avinu, Zechet Tzadik, Livracha, Ksiv, Avram Ayo, Yeh, Legoi Godov Yatsum. So there's a bracha for Avram at the same time. Nu, Ravina keeps on asking, and he says, Minah HaMilso, the Amar Rabbanon, Shem Rishon Yirkov. Nu, where do we find the source for Shem Rishon Yirkov? So again, this Rav says, Amalei, the Hawk Siv, Shem Rishon Yirkov. It's again another Pasuk in Mishlei. So what says, no, again, Ravina was asking me, the Reis and Minah, where in the Torah do we find that this is alluded to? And here this Rav tells him, the Siv, Yahal at Sodom. It mentions that Lot put up his tent over there in Sodom. And Nu, while it tells us Sodom, so it mentions Shem Rishon Yirkov. So it mentions Sodom, so then it tells bad things about Sodom. And now we have another statement from Elazar. Amar Elazar, tzadik dorbe, shnei rishoyim. You have a tzadik, which we'll see is Ovadja, who's living between shnei rishoyim. Who are these shnei rishoyim? Izevel and Achov. And nevertheless, lo lomad mimasem. He didn't learn to be a Rasha like they were. As opposed to Rasha, dorbe, shnei tzadikim. A Rasha lives between two tzadikim. We'll see who this is in a second. But lo lomad mimasem. And he didn't learn from their good deeds, and he stayed as a Rasha. So Gemara says, tzadik dorbe, shnei rishoyim, lo lomad mimasem. Who is this referring to? This is Ovadja. Ovadja was a ger from Edom, and he became a great, great person. And he was serving in the court of Achav and Izebel, and yet he didn't become a Rasha. And in fact, he hid many of the Nevi'im at that time, two groups of 50 people, and Ovadja was Zochel Atov, and he was a tzaddik who lived amongst two Rishayim and didn't learn from them. As opposed to a Rasha, Dar Ben Shnei Tzaddikim, V'lo Lomad Mimaseim, there's a reference to Esav, a Rasha, who was a son of Yitzchak and Rivka, living amongst the two great tzaddikim, the patriarch and matriarch of Klal Yisrael, and nevertheless he didn't learn from their good deeds, and he did terrible things. Now, since this was a statement of Rabbi Elazar, we now have another statement of Rabbi Elazar. The Masor Sashas adds, V'omar Rabbi Elazar. He adds the Vav, V'omar Rabbi Elazar, Mibirchasi Shal Sadikim, Atala made Kalala Rishoyim. From the Bracha that a Tzadik gets, he sees the punishment that a Rasha gets, and vice versa. Mikalala Shal Rishoyim, from the Kalala, the curse that a Rasha gets, Atala made Bracha that Tzadikim. You see the reward for the Tzadik. What is this talking about? Mibirchasi Shal Sadikim, Atala made Kalala Rishoyim. Where do we see this? The Bracha of a Tzadik can teach us the Kalala for a Rasha, because it says in the Pasuk, Dichsiv, Ki Yedativ L'man Asher Yitzav V'Gomer. The reason why Avraham Avinu was so beloved by Kodesh Baruch Hu, because he taught his children, he passed on the Masorah. Nu, mentions the Tzadik, you can see the reward that the Tzadik got, and you can therefore see the Kalala that the Rasha got. Ksiv Basrei, it says right after that, Vayom Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Zak HaSidom Amorah Ki Rabba, the terrible things that are going on in Sodom and Amorah, they're so terrible, so great. So, therefore, it mentions the tzaddik, and you see the curse to the Rasha. And from the curse to the Rasha, Atalomid Bracha Tzadikim, you see the great reward for the tzaddikim. Where is that? That's it. It says, V'anshi Sodom Reim V'chatum Hashem. And then, it says right after that, V'Hashem Amar El Avram. Hashem says to Avram, Acharei Pari Lot Meimo. After you leave Lot, so then I'm going to give you all this wonderful thing. So Noeinech, Rei, Menam Komashiach Tosham, Sephora Venei, Wilkid Vayama, all the wonderful Eretz Yisrael that you're going to get. Another statement in Masoros Hashas adds again, V'omar Rabbi Elazar, since all of these statements are Rabbi Elazar, so the Vav is appropriate. Afilu Bishul Tzadik Echad Olam Nevra. It's enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world even for a single tzaddik. Where do you see this? Shenemar. Vayahu Elokim Esar Ki Tov. Hashem saw that the light was good. Vein Tov El Tzadik. Tov is a reference to Tzadik. Moshe Rabbeinu's name was Tov. The word Tuvia, Tov. So Vein Tov El Tzadik. Tov refers to a tzaddik. Shenemar Imru Tzadik Ki Tov. A tzaddik is called Tov. So Hashem made the whole world even for a single tzaddik. Finally, V'omar Rabbi Elazar. Another statement that Rabbi Elazar made, that Vav is added again. Somebody forgets any of his learning, Gorim Golos Levanim. It's going to cause Nebuchadnezzar's children to go into Golos. Where do we see this? From Shinema, the Pasuk says, Vatishkach Torah Salokecha. If you forget the Torah of Hashem, Eshkach Bonecha Gam Oni. I will forget your children because you forgot my Torah. Rabbi Vomar Morid no Somigdulasu. Not only that, but you yourself will be lowered from your position of Cheshivos, of Gedula. Shenemar, Ki Ato Hadas Moasta, because you, so to say, didn't want to have anything to do with me, Vem Osucho Mi Kindly. So therefore, I won't have you go and be my servant, to be my Kohen. Now we have a number of Gadatas that are said over the name of Rechia Bar Abba in the name of Rav Yochanan. Amar Rechia Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Tzadik Niftor Min Olam. A tzaddik doesn't die from this world, achenivra tzaddik moso, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu replaces him, so to say, with another tzaddik, shenemar, because it's based upon the pasuk that we have in Koheles, v'zorach HaShemesh uva HaShemesh, the sun rises and the sun sets, sunrise, sunsets, that's where it comes from. So the sun rises and the sun sets, so one tzaddik leaves, another tzaddik takes its place. And this means, achelokovsa shimsho shel Eli, an example of this would be, Eli was about to leave this world, and immediately, Zarach Hashem Shoshul Shmuel Aramasi. So Shmuel, the great Shmuel Anavi, he took over his place. And there are many, many other examples of this as well. Now another statement, Ve'er Amar, again, all of these statements are connected with the Vav, that's the Masor Shashas adds, and he says, Ve'er Amar Chiyah Barav, Amar Yochan, another statement, Ra'a Kodesh Baruch Hu Tzadikim Muatim, there are very few Tzadikim in all creation. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch says, it's not right if one generation would have all Tzadikim, and another generation didn't have another Tzadik in it. So Amar, so therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to say, stood up, Hu Shesolam Chol Dovah Dor, he placed the number of Tzadikim, he sprinkled Tzadikim in every generation. And this is based upon the Pasuk Shnemar, Kil Hashem, Mitzuki Eretz, Vayosha Saleim Tevel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these pillars of the world, Mitzuki Eretz, down, and they hold up the world. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sprinkled Tzadikim in every generation. Another statement, again, is added by Rav Sosa Shas, Amar Reb Chiya Barav, Amar Yochanan, Afilu Bishul Tzadik Echad Olam Miskayim. It's enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make even one Tzadik, and the world would exist. Shnemar, V'Tzadik Yesod Olam. Right, the tzaddik is the foundation of the entire world. Right, when we talk about a great person, we say he's a tzaddik yisod olam. He's one of the tzaddikim that, so to say, holds up the world. Now, that was what Rav Chiya Barava said in Rav Yochanan. But Rav Chiya Didei, Rav Chiya Barava himself said, Omer Yocha, it's based upon this pasuk, Ragle Chasidov Yishmor. This is a pasuk from Shmuel Aleph, where it says that because of his Chasidov, Hashem preserves the world. Now, chasidav is a plural word. So the Gemara asks, chasidav tuv mashma, it doesn't seem to say for one tzaddik, but this is a ksiv ukri. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, chasido ksiv. It's spelled chasido. It's pronounced chasidav. And therefore, it implies singular. Another statement, again, is added by the Masoros HaShas, Amar Rav Chiya Barav, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kivin Shiyotzu Rov Shnosu Shal Adam V'lo Chotav. A person goes through most of his life without having sinned. Shuvei Nochote. Most of the time, he will not sin. Shenemar Ragle Chasidav Yishmar. Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to say, protects such a person. If this is his regilus, that he doesn't sin, Hashem will make it that he doesn't sin. He will continue to not sin. Alternatively, Devei Rav Shila Amrei, they learned it out from the following. Kivin Shabal Yodo Devar Reveira Pam Rishon Ushnia. If a person has an opportunity to sin and he doesn't, another time he has an opportunity to sin and he doesn't, so then Veinochote Shuvenochote. If he passes the test, so to say, with these sins and doesn't sin, he won't sin the next time. Shinema Ragli Chasidav Yishmar. Again, Hashem protects him in this way. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, what does the pasuk mean? Ma'idach Siv Imla Leitzim Uyolitz Vila Novim Yiten Chain. To a leitz is a person who ridicules, who's a cynic. So Hashem says, I'll act with you the same way you act towards other people. But if you're humble, then I will give you all sorts of chayin, all sorts of good things. So this means, Reish Lakish says, Balatami poslo. If a person wants to do bad things, the Kodesh Baruch will make sure that he has plenty of opportunities to do bad things. But Balatai, if a person tries to do good things, Masai no so, then the Kodesh Baruch will make it that he can do many good things. Tani Rabbi Shmuel, the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel said, "Moshal liyadim shoyam ocher naft biyavar simot." We give an example of if a person that sells something that's very foul smelling like naft, and something that's very beautiful smelling like a perfume like balsam, afar simot. We turn to Lamed Tesam and Aleph. When the storekeeper is going to measure out to sell the naft to somebody, bal limdod naft. When he's going to sell the naft, so omelo, he tells the customer, "You midod atol yatzva. You go." Pour it out for yourself, measure it out for yourself. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to get my hands all smelly. However, Bolim Dod Afarsim, when somebody comes in to buy some of the perfume, so then the storekeeper says, Omelo, Amtein, wait a second. Amtein Li, Achem Dod Imcha. I will go and pour the Afarsim for you. In this way, Kadeshin is Basim, Ani Veta. I'll also get some benefit from it as I pour it out. I will become perfumed, and then, of course, I'm selling it to you, so you'll have the perfume as well. Finally, Tanya the Rabbi Shmuel, they learned another thing in the basement of Rabbi Shmuel. Aveira mitamtemes libo shel odom, that a sin goes and it plugs up the heart of a person. It gives it like a coronary blockage. Shenema, as the pasuk says, lo si tamu bohem vinit mesim bom. Don't go and make yourselves tamei and become tamei. Now, the word vinit mesim is spelled without the aleph. So al tikri vinit mesim with an aleph, ella vinitamtem. It will plug you up. It will give you a coronary blockage spiritually, meaning that your heart will become incapable of wanting to do mitzvahs. Alternatively, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned it from the following. Now, the gears that we have is alti tamu, but the pasuk really is velo si tamu bohem vinit mesim bom. Midashin is this pasuk the following way. If a person is with Tami himself a little bit, so that will lead him, Avera Goreris Avera. Milamato, if he contaminates himself, he's Mitami himself over here in this world, Mitaminoso Milamala, he'll be contaminated in Shemayim. And if he contaminates himself, Bolamazer, Mitaminoso Lilamabodo, contaminate him for the future worlds as well. Tana Rabbanan. Finally, we conclude this beautiful parak with the following brisa. Viskadishtem visem kidosh. One end off on a positive note. So you shall go and make yourself holy, and then you'll become holy. So we're dashing this exactly the opposite way of the Tumah Pasuk. If you go and do a little bit, so mitzvah, go mitzvah, then you become very greatly sanctified. If you do it in this world, do it in above. If you do it in this world, then you'll be sanctified in the world to come. With this we conclude today's share.